Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's news video, we are going to talk about the problem about AEW Dynamite that no one wants to admit.
A major debut on last night's AEW Dynamite.
There was a surprising return on last night's AEW Dynamite.
And WWE is extremely interested in this AEW star. I'm Adam Wilborn.
I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
And we are going to kick things off today by editorializing somewhat. Because Dynamite's in a bit of a slump right now.
Yes.
Right? Creatively, we're talking about here, which is obviously subjective and a matter of opinion above all else. Ratings-wise, the show did a good number last week to recover. We're not talking about things from that perspective, but creatively, last night
was all over the bloody place.
I was going to say, there were points during that show where I felt like I was watching a mediocre episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Right? The tropes, the booking techniques that were relied on and kind of repeated across the entirety of the broadcast.
Some great stuff.
Plenty of good stuff, yeah. For sure. I like the CM Punk Wardlow stuff. I like Deeb and Sheeta. Brody King spoiled one of the news stories there, but I enjoyed that a lot. More in my article later on, of course. But you had problems like matches just getting started and then immediately going to a commercial break, which is never fun. You had two separate promo trains. You had the opening stuff with Adam Cole and the Elite and the Era and Britt Baker and the Best Friends. Then you had Adam Page and Dan Lambert and the return that we'll talk about later on the video as well. So varying quality, whatever. You had people interrupting almost every single backstage segment. Three of the night's five matches had some form of interference or distraction or interruption or whatever. And I sat there today, this morning, and tallied up just the total number of interruptions or people walking in on segments, people getting involved in matches, people running down to the ring to interrupt the promo. 18 times.
Jesus!
18 times across the course of the night. And it's episodic pro wrestling television. You expect a degree of this. You expect an amount of it. But when it spams so frequently, you come away thinking, brother, this could really have done with more variety across the 2 hours for sure. So I'm going to break down this completely in my ups and downs article on the website.
That's going to be a good read.
Be up soon. I think probably about the same time this video goes live, the article will be there. So I'll break it down completely there, as well as the stuff I did like about the show. I don't think it was like the worst Dynamite ever or anything like that. But it, you know, the problems exist and they should be picked apart.
Yeah,
sure.
I think that's fair. And I know some people. I mean, Michael Sidgwick, he's not biased. He just really wants AEW to do well because he enjoys it as a product. But you look at his Twitter today and you listen to our podcast today. I can't wait to chat to him about AEW Dynamite. And he will hold his hands up and admit that. And also, I don't think this is suddenly an AEW Dynamite out of nowhere that's gone wrong. I think it's been a while.
Yeah.
There has been sensational moments in the last few weeks on AEW Dynamite.
Danielson and Page, things like that, great. But
that has, I think, papered over the cracks, is that fair?
Yeah, somewhat. Like, creatively, the show just hasn't been firing for the past couple of months. And you can, I mean, look, I'm sure there are legitimate reasons for this. Kenny Omega's not there. John Moxley's not there at the
Chris
moment.
Chris Jericho is there. Yeah, there's reasons.
There are reasons to point towards, for sure. But, you know, it's a thing. Wanted to talk about it this morning. There you go.
WWE shills, though. Can't wait for Vince to buy me a new watch now.
Yeah, oh, God, people are going to go nuts about
just
this,
look.
They?
We call it as we see it. That's all we can do for you here. Please do continue the conversation civilly in the comment section. We've already had a debate in the office about certain bits of AEW Dynamite. Trust me, we're going to get into it on that podcast. Andy's ups and downs, we'll talk about it. Miller on his ups and downs on this channel, we'll talk about it. But we call it as we see it. But let's keep it civil in the comments, shall we? Hey?
Don't be a dick.
Exactly. Right, let's talk about some of the good stuff that happened last night. One of which was a debut for Brody King. He is officially All Elite, the former Ring of Honor wrestler, popping up with the old lights off, lights on gimmick to help out his good pal, Malakai Black.
Good pal Mal.
Kick the crap out of the Varsity Blondes. This was in amongst following a match featuring Penta El Zero Miedo and Matt Hardy, which Penta won, and then called out Malakai Black. Lights go down, lights come up, Malakai Black's there, Varsity Blondes get involved, and then lights go down, lights come up. Brody King is there. As I said, he's aligned himself with Malakai Black, the old House of Black gimmick, and they murdered members of the Varsity Blondes, including one bit with Malakai chucking one of the Varsity Blondes, can't remember which one it was, apologies, into Brody King from just slam him on the mat. They look great as a team. I'll put aside my opinions of the whole spooky House of Black thing. Great debut.
Yeah, this was good. This was good. This was something I really enjoyed in the show. I love Brody King. I've loved him for a long time. He's got a great striking appearance that's going to mm-hmm. look... He looks tremendous standing next to Malakai Black because he's like a beefier version of him, isn't he? With the tattoos and the hair and the beard and everything. They have similar aesthetics for sure. He's also a great wrestler. He's a big guy who can do fast-paced lucha stuff almost, but he can do the power stuff really well. And on top of that, he's a great musician. He's got an awesome band called God's Hate. If you like music that smacks you in the face, listen to God's Hate. That'll treat you well.
This is me holding my hands up. I didn't know a lot about Brody King. I don't know a lot outside of the WWE and AEW spheres, if I'm perfectly honest. But in terms of like, well, I need to care about this guy, you know, they built it up with the teasers and you explaining it previously of like, oh, it's going to be Brody King in a few weeks popping up. And then when he arrived, and I went, bloody hell, look at that guy. And then with what he did, very excited to see what he does next.
So there you go. You've got the opinion of a total dork and not a dork. You got a balance right there. Dungeons and Dragons. There's a balance. Everyone has their thing. Listen, we all have our nerddoms, don't we? Let's move over. Lance Archer's back. Lance will make him dance.
He will.
This came
through a fucking chair is what it'll do.
Yeah, he will. Silly sausage. That's dangerous, Lance. What are you doing? You might hurt a man. This went down following a segment. Hangman Page came out and said, hey, look, it's the new year. The records are 0-0. No one's, you know, picking up streaks or whatever. Who's my challenger? Who's coming out? Dan Lambert came out and I was like, Dan Lambert's going to wrestle Hangman? Of course not. Dan Lambert cut a promo. He was like, he put Paige over his accomplishments, but then he said, you're disrespecting cowboys.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Blackjack Mulligan, he named the Funks, Stan Hansen, a few other people. He wasn't just going, listen, Rawhide would be pissed. Bring them doggies home. That was a TV show, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That's where I got that from. And then Lance Archer came down. Now, Lance, if you remember, had that run-in with Lambert when Lambert debuted in AEW. Lambert got a blackout. So Lambert was pissing himself, obviously, like... And Lance changed his mind. He went, no, I'm not going to chin you. I'm going to chin him because he's the world champion and I would like to be the world champion.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So there you go. That establishes the feud. It looks like Hangman's lying about everyone being 0-0. And not ranked or not, you know, with numbers in the rankings, kind of enables the challenge somewhat because usually you'd go, well, he's not ranked. What's going on here? But nobody is.
Sean Dean's got one of the best records in AEW right now.
Yeah, there you go. And look, I love Sean Dean, but come on, he's not challenging for
see,
the
he's got that new t-shirt. I beat you and you know it.
I've loved his social media form since he beat...
I'm annoyed. He shouldn't have beaten MJF.
Well, it's debatable, but shout outs to Sean. There you go. Lance is back. He hasn't been here since October. Hurt his neck. Now he's back.
Fantastic. Really excited. And as a... not to... backhanded compliment here, as an interim feud one would assume before the pay-per-view feud that takes us to Revolution in early March, perfect for me.
Boom. Yeah, you can beat him, credible, you move on.
Right, I shouldn't laugh now, but a very interesting development came about yesterday. So yesterday afternoon, I believe it was,
I was getting ready to leave and then this happened.
There was a tweet went out from WrestleVotes saying how extremely interested they were in an AEW star, particularly I'm not surprised. Wardlow, they tweeted with his biggest match to date happening later tonight. That was yesterday, of course. I can confirm without hesitation that WWE will be extremely interested in luring Wardlow away from AEW when his contract is due. There are several people within World Wrestling Entertainment that love his potential. I wonder why that might be.
Yeah.
But in hilarious developments, 14 minutes later, an interview that Wardlow did with PW Insider came out, where he basically said, I'm going to be in AEW for life. He said, in 10 or 20 years, I'm going to be so excited and proud to look back and say that was one of the AEW originals, and that means so much to me. He continued, as far as the world knows, my career started with AEW and it's going to end with AEW. I look forward to accomplishing and growing as much as humanly possible. Can't grow much more than you are now, brother. Yeah. He's bloody huge. and reach the stars throughout the next 10 years. So for 14 minutes, Wardlow was on his way to WWE and now he's in AEW for life.
It's funny, isn't it? His line about, hey, look, I don't think I could be convinced that the grass is greener on the other side. It's particularly telling. Yeah, this was funny because the WrestleVotes report came out. And look, not to discredit that at all. I'm sure I believe that 100%. I think WWE will make a play for Wardlow.
Oh, without question.
Because why the hell wouldn't you? Look at him. And also, he's really good and he comes across like a really nice role model guy away from the ring and everything else. I think he'd be a great signing for any wrestling cut. Of course they're going to make a play when his contract's up. But it was funny. This interview just came out and he said, nope. Like 14 minutes later, the sequencing couldn't have been
perfect.
More of a popper. I had a laugh with this. I hope you did as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see when his contract comes up. You know, he's committed. He appears there to have committed his future to AEW. He loves working there, clearly. So it may not be a case of money. But then again, as we always say, look, don't hate for people getting their money.
Nope.
If WWE break the bank trying to sign him, and I know everyone's got unlimited bloody coffers nowadays, you know, it could be a thing that happens.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that if out of that entire roster, he'd probably be in my top 10 of people that WWE would love to take.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, financial incentives are real. Like, we can't pretend they don't exist.
No.
And maybe he has other incentives as well. Who knows? But yeah, it's fun. It's going to be a fun thing to follow.
Mm. Let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Toby1 Kenobi.
Nice, I like that.
Who sends a picture
That's
of
from
his,
Star Trek, yeah?
Yeah, indeed. Sends a picture of his dog, Vader. First of all, good boy, Vader.
Vader.
Second of all, Toby asks, do you think the allure of a WrestleMania match still holds the same prestige it once did? And is it enough for wrestlers to choose WWE over AEW?
I think it depends on the individual, for sure. Like, I think a lot of people enter pro wrestling, even still today, even with, you know, releases and various other things. I think a lot of people just, like, it's their childhood dream to wrestle for WWE. Like, it's their favorite company, they like the product, they've grown up watching it, and they want to be in that WrestleMania spotlight. I think for a lot of people that still holds the allure, even if, you know, certain things factor into it as outsiders like us might view it as maybe not what it used to be or whatever. But yeah, absolutely. For individuals, I'm sure it differs case by case, but if you're like a young wrestler who grew up in like the WWE Monopoly era in particular, and you weren't alive or around for WCW or whatever, WWE's probably the be-all, end-all.
Just look at, what was it, Ben Carter?
Yep, Nathan Frazier,
Nathan
sir.
Nathan Frazier.
Yeah, that's a good ring name.
Yeah, look at him. Like, he came in, did some great stuff with AEW on the dark, on sort of a freelance basis. And then both companies went, we'd like to sign you. And he went, well, I've grown up as a boyhood fan of WWE. I'd love to go there. Maybe down the line this may change. But I certainly noticed when I went home for Christmas, you get to sort of interact with people, those who are, let's say, lapsed fans or people outside the bubble.
Yeah.
And still, as much as I would prefer it to be different, a bit like UFC is now overtaking MMA as the go-to phrase. People don't say, oh, what's going on in this wrestling business? They say, what's going on in WWE? And I have to say, oh, and there's this other really big company, along with a whole host of others, of course, that big things are happening in. But WWE is a synonym for wrestling, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, for sure. And it's not the only shop in town anymore, and people have different goals, people have different motivations, but it's always going to be a factor for some wrestlers, for sure.
TrollMac20.
What?
This is our second question of the day, saying, morning, gentlemen. What if the mystery Forbidden Door wrestler wins the Men's Royal Rumble match? Odds of that happening?
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Yeah, I like the idea of someone coming in and immediately going boom is very exciting, isn't it? Like this outsider making their presence felt by winning the literal biggest match of the year, because that's 30 people in it. That's why it's the biggest.
Yeah. Remember that year I had 14? That was weird.
Yeah, that wasn't as good, was it?
And the person who won it didn't win at WrestleMania. So.
Remember the greatest Royal Rumble, of course, with such luminaries as Hiroki Sumi, who was robbed. Anyway.
Titus O'Neil,
there
never
you go.
Never forget.
Titus World Slide, all that stuff. In short, I don't think they'll do it.
No.
I don't think they would commit to that spotlight for anyone but a full-time contracted talent. And I think the Forbidden Door entry is going to be someone like Rhino anyway. So, not to dismiss Rhino, obviously, but he's not winning the Royal Rumble in 2022.
I think these Forbidden Door entrances, as much as people want to sit there and say, maybe it's going to be Punk, maybe it's going to be Brian Danielson, maybe it's going to be John Moxley.
MJF is the weird... Khan's not going to allow that.
No. Like, it's just going to be one of those of like, oh, remember this guy, or oh, how shocking was it that this guy came in and eliminated three mid-carders you've not done anything for the last 6 months. Yeah. And that's that. Because Big E's winning the Men's Royal Rumble.
Ooh,
there you go.
Nice shot.
Called it. Final Twitter question today comes from Philly to the J, who says, does Bobby Fish have the best mustache in wrestling? It's a great mustache. It's a man who knows how to grow a good mustache.
Listen, if there's an expert in mustaches, it's this guy here. The Nigel Mansell of being cancelled? I don't know.
Allegedly.
So he's not cancelled. He's great.
That mustache is.
It's a good mustache.
No, the mustache is cancelled.
It's real.
By my wife on the 1st of December. Bobby Fish, what do you reckon to his mustache?
I mean, it's a great mustache, and we're big Bobby Fish guys.
There's a butt coming here, I can tell.
There is a butt. And the name of the person who has the best mustache in wrestling starts with BET as well. It's the Butcher. Who else could possibly beat that magnificent beard mustache thing that adorns that great man's face? It's tremendous. Bobby Fish has an excellent mustache, and they're different genres of mustache. Yours is a different mustache as well. Yours is...
It's very different.
Nigel Formbury style. But no, it's the Butcher. He's got the best facial hair of all time. And something I aspire to, honestly. Yeah.
You can be a dick in the comments if you're having an argument with someone about mustaches. I'll allow that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mustache comments are fair game. Just leave Chucky's dad alone. I'm sorry.
Right, let's move on to today's and finally. And if you're not following Wendy's on Twitter, follow them, basically. Wendy's yesterday tweeted, it's hashtag National Roast Day, drop the roast me below, and promoted their fries or some bollocks, right? To which AW on TV replied, it's MJF's favourite day of the year, hashtag National Roast Day. A picture of MJF. Wendy's replied, this is how explosive your tweets are. With a picture of the conclusion of Revolution with the exploding barbed wire death match.
Listen, I've never met Wendy before, but I think we should hire her to do our social media because that's tremendous. It's good banter.
That's really
it's
good.
It's good banter, isn't it?
Like, it is. Just, I mean, you just got to take the L at that point.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, the explosion was what it was. There are reasons why it was crap. But it was crap.
It's funny.
And you got to laugh at it forever, right? You can't be mad at it.
No.
You can have fun. It's funny. It's funny. The pay-per-view ended on a sparkler and a little...
Rubbish.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Right, let us know your thoughts on that and all of today's news stories.
Because Jericho landed on cardboard boxes.
Yeah, and he was out for less time than getting hit with a chair, I believe, by 2.0.
Three times as many weeks.
Yep. Anyway, we'll be back later on today. We've got loads more news stories to report on later on today. So we'll be back with a second news video later on today. But for now, let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Oh, it's going to be a tasty one today with myself and the Dally Boys reviewing AEW Dynamite. And check out Andy Murray's Ups and Downs article for all his thoughts on the show as well. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts on Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
Follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, get the cardamom out because it's going to be a spicy one.
Ooh, you can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us and we will see you soon.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project... There's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.